This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We welcome in Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, to bring us up to date on the latest on the state budget and state politics. And we welcome your input, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So let's talk about this latest poll from the Marquette University Law School. Boy, Governor Walker took kind of a hit in approval ratings, didn't he?
Yeah, this poll had a lot in there that was pretty eye-opening for state government. We'll start with the governor's approval. If you look at the Marquette poll since they started doing it back in January of 2012, one of the noteworthy features is that Governor Walker's approval rating never really drops below a certain level, never gets too high, never gets too low, pretty consistent. And in this poll, it did drop pretty significantly, dropped eight points, from the last time they polled in October to 41%, which is the lowest it's been since Marquette started polling back in 2012. 56% disapprove of the job that the governor's doing. And, I mean, he's upside down now. They were right side up right before the election. There were more voters who approved of the job that the governor's doing versus a number who disapproved.
Do we have any idea why we're disapproving more now than we were?
You've got a lot of ideas to choose from here, and I think that the other issues that the Marquette poll looked at give you a pretty good hint here, specifically on the budget. So they asked whether what people thought about the K-12 cuts to K-12 education in this budget. 78% oppose.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. UW cuts, 70% oppose. Turning the Natural Resources Board into an advisory board, smaller item, a policy item. And that's already been taken out of the budget, by the way, but 60% oppose. And then, you know, kind of fundamentally, would you rather cut property taxes or increase spending for public schools? 40% said property taxes, 54% said schools. Now, those are pretty fundamental questions in this budget, where this budget, at least in this poll, is on the wrong side of public opinion. And you could go on. The Bucks Arena, pretty astonishing numbers there. 79% oppose borrowing $150 million for a Bucks Arena. If you go outside of the Milwaukee media market, 88% oppose. And remember, there are going to be lawmakers outside of this 10-county Milwaukee media market that are going to be asked to vote for this Bucks deal, which is included in the budget. That is setting up, I don't want to call it a no-win situation for them, but a couple of difficult choices for legislators. I mean, either they borrow the money and land the arena and take a step that this poll suggests is not popular with the public, or, you know, they're sitting in the chair when Wisconsin lost the Bucks. I mean, that, which is a possibility. I mean, there's a possibility the Bucks could go to Seattle, which lost its NBA franchise. So there's just not a great option for them there.
Did the poll show support for anything in the budget?
Yeah, the noteworthy thing in this poll, one of many, is that the public, 51% said that they support the governor's plan to borrow $1.3 billion for roads. So let's set that up a little bit. What is the one issue that Republicans, majority Republicans, and frankly Democrats have said consistently that this has got to go? This is way too high. $1.3 billion in borrowing is too high. And there are all sorts of policy reasons why, yeah, it's troublesome, because what we pay toward debt service is going to go up and up and up if we borrow this much. But the public's okay with that.
And
51%.
That's
the one that that Republicans said that's definitely got to change. And, you know, that on that issue, the public's all right with borrowing. I mean, I guess it's one where you don't feel the pain immediately, but many years down the road.
Well, you know, Governor Walker did attribute, he thought, his falling poll numbers to the opposition to the budget. But he also said that once people understand the budget, then they'll like it. What about that?
Yeah, you want to hear from the governor real quick here? The governor was on a conference call. He was in Europe last week on a trade mission for the state, and this is a trade mission that was sandwiched in between a trip to Nashville for the NRA convention and New Hampshire for a political stop there as well. So the governor was asked, what's up with these poll numbers? And he did say it's probably the budget. This is typically a period when governors have their lowest approval rating is when right after you introduce the budget. But he did say that he thought it was going to get better.
You know, there's been little or no talk, for example, about how this budget will continue to lower property taxes. There's been little or no talk about some of the other positives in the budget. Once the new revenue numbers come out and we can adjust and tweak the school aid numbers, and those will go back, and those levels of funding for schools would be restored. And when people hear about UW and they hear about it in terms of the fact that yet again, for 2 years in a row, we're going to freeze tuition and put in place a cap thereafter so that it doesn't go up over inflation, over the CPI. Those are all really positive things.
But you got to run down the list of what the governor said there. I mean, he said nobody's talking about the property tax, the property tax
reduction
in this budget. You break that property tax reduction down, it's about $11 total over the 2 year budget. So it's not huge. And again, we have this Marquette poll finding saying that given the choice of one or the other, people would rather take an increase in school aid than a property tax cut. And those two are, you know, strongly intertwined. And then he's talking about once we have new revenue estimates, we'll be able to restore school aid. I don't think I've ever covered a budget where there's been so much faith put in revenue estimates that nobody's seen. I mean, what's happened here is the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has said, here's how much revenue we are going to have. Here's how much spending we have. And so here is the deficit. We don't have enough revenue to keep up with the spending. Here's the projected deficit. You know, the governor reduces his budget and has to have these cuts in order to fill that deficit. You know, what Republicans keep saying is that after we have actual tax collections from April, and it's no longer a projection, we have the real numbers for how much tax revenue we brought into the state, the May re-estimate of our revenue numbers is going to be so much better that we'll be able to offset the cuts to K-12 education, to the University of Wisconsin, and then, you know, potentially elsewhere, potentially, I guess, reduce the borrowing for transportation. But you're talking about a lot of money there. And, I mean, that's a lot of faith in revenue estimates that we don't know for sure are going to be any higher. The table's kind of set for this budget. Once you have a deficit to fill the size that Wisconsin does, you have to go to places like K-12 and the UW, as the governor did. The public doesn't like that, according to this MU poll.
Yeah, so lawmakers seem to be at least bucking some of the items that are in the governor's budget. So maybe they are hearing from their constituents that they don't like these things.
It could be. I mean, what happened last week is that they took out a few things that were they just decided, you know, that these are policy items and we're just going to pull them right out of the budget. Every budget cycle, the Fiscal Bureau drafts up a list of, you know, quote, policy. It doesn't necessarily have a fiscal impact like the Natural Resources Board. They are policy decisions that governors put in budgets. And the legislature then picks and chooses, okay, which ones from the Fiscal Bureau memo do we just want to take out right now? And one of the ones that they took out was changing the Natural Resources Board from a policy-making board into an advisory board. Again, Marquette poll showed that 60% opposed the governor's plan to do that, to make it an advisory board. And so the Natural Resources Board will remain intact. The Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection Board will remain intact. And they largely bucked the governor, too, on changes to the Judicial Council and the Judicial Commission. These are bodies that have to do with setting policy for the court and also disciplining members of the judiciary or attorneys, Supreme Court justices. They've been under some intense scrutiny in recent years because they haven't been afraid of using that authority. So those are going to remain mostly in their current form.
We will continue our State Capitol report after we check the latest news. We'll talk more about what the Joint Finance Committee did last week and what is on the agenda for the Joint Finance Committee this week, plus some other top issues in state politics. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking in this half of the State Capitol Report with Sean Johnson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Coming up after 7:30, we are going to get another side of the story on the so-called climate change gag order. We will welcome in State Treasurer Matt Adamczyk, who will explain why he called for this ban on climate change work for staff of the Wisconsin Public Lands Board. That's coming up after 7:30. So, Sean Johnson with us now. And Sean, I guess on a somewhat related note, we did have Secretary of State Doug LaFollette on the State Capitol Report last week talking about that climate change ban or work ban. The Joint Finance Committee did approve the governor's cuts to the Secretary of State's office.
They did, and they sent Doug LaFollette to the basement where he will have a staff that's more akin to freshman state legislator than to constitutional office. Doug LaFollette, Secretary of State, and I guess the difference between Secretary of State and the Treasurer's office, which has also been scaled down considerably, is that the Treasurer kind of did so willingly, at least in recent years. Secretary of State LaFollette didn't ask for this, but his staff was cut more under the governor's budget. Lawmakers largely went along with that, and they moved him from office space just across the street from the Capitol to the basement. He was pretty unhappy with the move. I mean, his office has been definitely over the entire tenure of his term, which goes back to of his tenure, which started in the late 70s. He has seen that office go from a much bigger office than it is today. You know, Tommy Thompson started to take away some of the responsibilities, and Governor Walker has definitely continued that, basically finished it.
The Joint Finance Committee also defunded the Citizens Utility Board. Was that in the budget?
That was not in the budget, no. And what they did is they cut funding to the Citizens Utility Board in a couple ways. And Citizens Utility Board, or CUB, is a group that advocates for lower consumer utility bills. They cut this grant that wasn't specifically granted toward CUB, but the way that it was written, it only went to CUB every year. That helped them with their operating expenses, and they also made it so that CUB would have to put up more of its own money to pay for expert witnesses when they're challenging utilities and rate cases before the Public Service Commission. So Republicans said this is going to be popular with some of the businesses that go before the PSC, but CUB said essentially what happened is that these utilities are still going to be able to use ratepayer money to hire their own attorneys to defend themselves, but that their opposition just got a big bite taken out of their budget, and they won't be able to use that ratepayer funds to that degree.
The Joint Finance Committee is going to be taking up more budget issues this week. Sean, what's on the agenda?
Yeah, we've got some natural resources stuff on the agenda. Not a lot of the huge stuff that you've been following. Transportation also up, a number of different transportation issues up before the Finance Committee. But they are waiting on a lot of the biggest budget items until after those revenue estimates come out in mid-May, they effectively feel like that's when the budget cycle starts, and so they're not going to take a lot of the votes on stuff like education, you know, K-12 education at UW until after then.
Speaking of the UW, we did have UW Chancellor Rebecca Blank on the program last week, and I asked her about the possibility of sending off layoff notices. She had originally said when the budget first came out that that was going to happen in April. And she wasn't real specific with her answer, and I guess tactfully deflected that question. She did on Friday announce the elimination of 400 positions on the UW-Madison campus.
And I haven't seen a specific breakdown as to which of those are vacant positions versus are filled right now.
Most were vacant, I believe,
right
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but that is a tangible step where the University of Wisconsin-Madison is taking steps toward offsetting this budget reduction. And, I mean, actually, Chancellor Blank is kind of getting attacked for that by some Republican lawmakers. They feel like it's a political move to talk, you know, to take these steps before the final budget is done. But, you know, practically speaking, if you have to make cuts, and, you know, I mean, the UW is not going to get that $300 million completely reversed. It would have to be quite some good numbers coming out in May for that to happen. If you know you're going to have cuts happening, the sooner you deal with it, the better for budget purposes. You know, the faster you can start offsetting those cuts if you're going to make them.
Yeah. In other news, Justice Patrick Crooks, Supreme Court Justice Patrick Crooks, weighed in on this referendum that changes the way the Chief Justice is selected. What's new with that?
Yeah, he said that he didn't like Shirley Abrahamson's lawsuit, Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson's lawsuit, that seeks to keep that new constitutional amendment from taking effect until after she completes her term in 2019. That would let her serve out the term as Chief Justice as the most senior member of the court until 2019. After that, the court could start voting amongst its own members to choose the chief. Justice Crooks said, you know, I don't like that. In fact, I might like to be Chief Justice if this constitutional amendment takes effect. And whether or not this lawsuit succeeds might have something to do with whether or not I run for re-election next time around. It was widely assumed, because he had basically said it, that he was not going to seek re-election. He were going to have an open seat on the court, and which would be, you know, it wouldn't be a high turnout election, but it would be a big deal as far as the court's concerned, because an open seat is something that either side can win. He's not saying, I might stick around if I can run for Chief Justice here, so we'll see what that means. Her lawsuit, by the way, has a hearing coming up tomorrow.
I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson for just a couple more minutes on our State Capitol Report, talking about issues making news from the State Capitol. And let's touch on a little bit on what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had to say when he held a news conference last week on budget issues.
Yeah, this was it was actually a news conference he held on the Assembly calendar, and his office happened. He got asked a few questions at the end about the budget, and that's what everybody kind of keyed in on. Said he is open to increasing premiums for senior care, and while he didn't give a hard number, the numbers that he floated would be, you know, at least doubling premiums for senior care, possibly tripling. They're about $30 a year now. So he said that that's pretty reasonable. And if we can go, it's a question of how much we go beyond that. The numbers he floated would take it up as high as $84 a year. Said he would support having more corporate money go to state parks and higher user fees to pay for state parks. And while he didn't exactly endorse the governor's budget, when it comes to state parks, the gov's budget would end state funding for state parks. And so the DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp has floated it out there that she would be open to corporate naming rights for state parks. You know, that's not exactly what the speaker said, but he certainly left that door open. Said that he supports a tuition cap that the governor introduced as part of what's known as an errata memo. So an errata memo is usually something that they introduce, or that they, it happens every budget cycle. The governor introduces the budget, then comes back with this memo of technical clarifications. Well, we meant to do this, actually, we meant to do this, is actually this number was wrong, this number was wrong. One of the things in their auto memo was, hey, we're going to have an inflation-based tuition cap going forward. So a couple years of the budget, we'll have a tuition freeze, and then in 2017, we've got this permanent inflation-based tuition cap that's going to be in there, which you know, definitely goes against the freedoms that he was talking about giving the university, although that plan to give the university more autonomy through a new UW authority seems to be all but dead.
Yeah, and I guess I should say that I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, so is Sean Johnson, and obviously we are working for Wisconsin Public Radio, so the cuts to the UW system and to public broadcasting would affect us. The speaker also weighed in on, someone asked him about the proposed cuts to public broadcasting and whether he was getting much blowback on that. Was that you, Sean?
That was not me. That was the Wisconsin State Journal asked him that question. He said he listens to Joy Cardine, so yeah. Good morning, Speaker.
Yeah, good morning, Speaker.
And but he said that he hadn't heard much about it, so certainly didn't give any indication that he planned on restoring that money.
Yeah, sounded like he was...
he said, raise more money, basically on your own, was the message.
We will, by the way, be having a fundraising, a pledge drive at the end of this month. And by the way, we also will be releasing the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey this week on Wednesday and Thursday. So we asked some of the same questions or similar questions as the Marquette University Law School poll, and we'll be discussing those results coming up later in the week. The Senate is convening this week. Anything on the agenda there, Sean?
Yeah, there's a bill that would remove the waiting period for handgun purchases, and also they're going to confirm Mike Hipsch, who was the governor's DOA secretary for the entirety of his first term. Mike Hipsch will be a PSC commissioner where he'll have a 6-year term. So one of three. It's a, you know, one of those not often talked about positions in state government that's pretty important.
Well, lots going on. All right, Sean, thanks very much.
All right, thank
you.
Hopefully
talk to you next week. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.